All right, tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day. And so what I've done today is, I think it's helpful sometimes for us to see Scripture applied in the lives of others as a way for us to consider how does it apply in our lives. And so I want to start today's sermon, and then as we go through it, I'll continue to do this, with some thoughts that were written by Dr. King. During the week, I read just a short article that he wrote in 1958. It was for a Christian publication. Of course, he had different audiences. He had political audiences. He had Christian audiences. And he had, you know, just the general public that may or may not have any faith. And he was trying to persuade all of these people to the importance of the civil rights movement. And so he would, you know, pitch his conversations, even though the message was constant, the way he presented it, in different ways, depending on who the audience was. And so this was for a Christian publication, and it was an article that was printed several times throughout 1958 and in different publications. Now, if your memory of the 1950s is a bit fuzzy, like mine is, 4 years earlier, 4 years earlier, the Supreme Court had ruled to end school segregation. And that was not just instantaneously done, right? So in 1958, the struggle is still going on in the South, particularly for to end school segregation. The Montgomery bus boycott ran from 1955 to 1956. Again, it didn't mean that segregation was over in Montgomery. And this article that he writes references, it was written from Montgomery, and references the situation, the tensions there several times. Today, we largely remember Dr. King for his prominent role in breaking apart the system of racial segregation that enveloped large portions of this country. One aspect that I think perhaps has been not stressed as much, in at least in my hearing in recent years, is his commitment to nonviolent reform. And the commitment to nonviolent reform, in his mind, was very much arose from the words of Jesus Christ. And so, in this article, I'll just read a little bit of it here. He says, "At the center of nonviolence stands the principle of love. Violence begets violence. Hate begets hate, and toughness begets greater toughness. Along the way of life, someone must have enough sense and morality to cut off the chain of hate by projecting the ethics of love into the center of our lives." He goes further in this paragraph and discusses agape love, and then concludes by saying, "When we rise to love on the agape level, we rise to the position of loving the evil person while hating the deed that the person does." And I know that reading a short article, I think it was only about 5 pages, hardly makes me an expert on Dr. King and the civil rights movement. And so I'd never claim that. But in what I have read here and in other places, the videos that I've watched, the speeches that I've heard, which may or may not be the same as you've been exposed to, he consistently preached that the civil rights movement was a loving movement to free African Americans from oppression. But also, and I find this to be remarkable, but also to free their oppressors from the burden of being an oppressor. I think it's incredible that somebody was somebody's heart was big enough. I mean, as if the suffering of those who were oppressed was not a great enough problem to address, that his heart was large enough to say, we also act out of love towards those who are oppressing. And there's one line that I read just then that I'd like to use as a launching pad as we turn to Scripture this morning. Along the way of life, someone must have enough sense and morality to cut off the chain of hate by projecting the ethics of love into the center of our lives. Soon after I came to Lawson Road, we introduced our current logo with the LR on it. Maybe you've seen it. Now, those are really great initials if you're looking for a way to play with this logo. And if you look on the front of your bulletin, you'll see that we adopted love and rescue as two great values for this church that we can connect with. You know, I'm really glad it wasn't like the Zacchaeus Circle Church of Christ. That would have really made things tough for us, you know. But Lawson Road just works really well with love and rescue. And so just to unpack this, and what I'm doing is this is the start of the year, and this is something that we've talked about in previous years but haven't done for a while. And so I want to, if you're new to the congregation, then maybe this you're hearing this for the first time. It's on our website as well, and we talk about it in different places, but maybe you haven't picked it up. And if you have heard it before, then consider it a refresher. But when we try to say, what can the L and the R stand for if we want to make them spiritual values for the church, then love is almost a no-brainer, right? You know, we didn't sit around very long going, oh, L, something spiritual that begins with L. So... in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4, we think of the Ten Commandments there, and as God gives those to the people of Israel. And one of the things maybe that we skip over is right there at the very beginning, God introduces himself, and he promises to show love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. God says, here's the basis. I'm going to give you some laws, but here's what I want out of this relationship. I want to love you, Israel, my people, my children. I want to love you for 1,000 generations. And when I get to the end of that 1,000 generations, if they're still loving me, I want to love them for 1,000 generations. That's God's relationship with humanity. And we see it right in the very beginning as he calls a people to himself. And so we shouldn't be too surprised when, given all the commandments in Exodus, in Leviticus, in Numbers, in Deuteronomy, when somebody asks Jesus, which is the greatest, which is the most important, that he settles on Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. But as Dr. King points out, love isn't something that stands alone by itself. Love is more than just an emotion. Love prompts us to act. And so also central to our relationship with God is not just that he loves us, but that he's our Savior. In Luke 1, 46 and 47, you know, perhaps you heard this read during the Christmas season and you didn't think about it a whole lot, but Mary sings, "My soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And sometimes we want to take that word Savior and go, oh, that belongs to the church, because Jesus is my Savior. And it does belong to the church, but it belonged to Mary. And it belonged to Israel before it belonged to the church. God has always been a Savior. And so even at Sinai, as God establishes this the Ten Commandments, the whole covenant that He makes with the children of Israel, it's based on the action that He has taken in saving Israel from the pagan gods and from the chaos and from the evil that was Egypt. God rescues, God saves His people. And so as we think about it, in English, those two words, save and savior, rescue and rescuer, are really the same word. And in churches, we tend to talk about save and savior, but in the rest of the world, we talk about rescue and rescuers. Okay? And so, for the purposes of our mnemonic device here with L and R, then rescue was the first word that we placed next to the R. And so a few years ago, we expanded the LR to LR cubed. LR cubed. And this gave us the opportunity to flesh out these ideas a little bit more. And we needed to do this because even Jesus, when He's asked, what's the greatest commandment, couldn't stop at one. Okay? He continued, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And don't stop, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And then in the last hours of Jesus' life, in John 13, verses 34 and 35, He gave His disciples what He called a new command. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Three times He says in just those two verses. Did you notice? Love one another. John later repeats this new command in his letters at the end of the New Testament. And so, LR cubed consists of these three loves. The great command, the second command, the new command, love God, love neighbor, and love each other. But love can't stand alone. Whether we look at 1 Corinthians 13 or at Romans 12, love must be lived. And so as we were thinking on our logo and those letters, we already had salvation or rescue as a core value. And the letter R, if you think about it, the letter R provides so many words that have spiritual meaning that describe our relationship with God, right? And I remember the first time I introduced this, I asked you as a church to write down R words just as an exercise. You may not remember that, but it was in my notes, okay? So I'm sure I did it. And to write down these words that represent important values. And part of the reason is that the RE at the start of a word means basically do-over, doesn't it? And I think, you know, we can't just have RE by itself. But that idea of do-over is one that we'll get to in just a moment. But it's connected to many of the ideas of Scripture. That concept of a do-over. And so we settled on, eventually, reconcile and renew as the other two to go with rescue. So although no one would say that if you do a word search of the Bible, that reconcile is a common word in Scripture, the word itself, the value of reconciliation is deeply theological. And as we think about the overall arc of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 5 is ground zero in discussing reconciliation. And our ministry, where Paul describes that we as children of God are given a ministry of reconciliation. And that ministry of reconciliation, if you look at that passage there, the second half of 2 Corinthians 5 as a whole, that this ministry of reconciliation comes from love. I love that Paul says we're compelled. Christ's love compels us. And you go, compels us to do what? Compels us towards this ministry of reconciliation. To bring other people into relationship with God. To reconcile other people with God. But at the same time, we can't just look at this passage and say, oh, this is just talking about salvation. This is just talking about preaching the gospel, about going to other countries or going to other places and telling people they need Jesus, because we can't be messengers of a spiritual, cosmic reconciliation that needs to take place while we're living in broken relationships that are fractured, that are split, that are filled with contention in our own lives. And so God's people are to be ministers of reconciliation, bringing people into connection with God. But when we bring people into connection with God, we should be mending relationships that are broken between people here on earth. In the same article that I referenced earlier, Dr. King noted about the methodology of nonviolence. He said this: it does not seek to defeat or humiliate the opponent, but to win his friendship and understanding. The end is redemption and reconciliation. I think that sounds really profound when, not because I read it, but when I read it in my context today, I go, that is so true. When I think about Dr. King reading that in his context, it blows me away. That in that context, with the animosity being directed towards him and the people who were following him, that he could say, we are committed to non-violence because we're committed to a greater goal. It does not seek to defeat or humiliate the opponent, but to win his friendship and understanding. The end is redemption and reconciliation. And so the final R that we've added to our logo, a final value that we want to promote as a church, is renew. Renew. Because all children of God, as we live in a fallen world, look forward to something new. We look forward to a new creation, a new heaven, a new earth. In that sense, Christians are literally eternal optimists. We believe that our best days are ahead of us rather than behind us. But this hope of renewal is not limited to just an airy-fairy hope of something beyond death. We believe, and because we gather together and because we've been on this journey for some time, we not only believe, but we can speak from experience that when we are loved, when we have been rescued, when we have experienced reconciliation, then our lives will be completely new from what they were before. We believe that when we join ourselves to God, we believe Paul's words from 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. From the moment sin entered the world, all of history has been moving toward a new creation. Creation just as God always intended, without the effects of sin. And again, I have a section here from Dr. King. And he writes these words: "Those of us who call the name of Jesus Christ find something at the center of our faith which forever reminds us that God is on the side of truth and justice. Good Friday may occupy the throne for a day, but ultimately it must give way to the triumph of Easter. Evil may so shape events that Caesar will occupy a palace and Christ a cross. But that same Christ arose and split history into AD and BC, so that even the life of Caesar must be dated by his name. Yes, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. So, in Montgomery, Alabama, we can walk and never get weary, because we know that there will be a great camp meeting in the promised land of freedom and justice." Dr. King believed that when we truly incorporate the ethic, not just love, but the ethic of love, the living of love, the lifestyle of love into our lives, we will experience what he often referred to as beloved community. Love God. Love your neighbor. Love each other. Rescue. Reconcile. Renew. I think these are not just abstract thoughts. They're values that interact with each other. They're values that tell the gospel story. They're values that don't allow the gospel story to be spiritualized or overly spiritualized, but that challenge us to live out the good news that we've received, to have an impact on the lives of people around us. And so we could choose other great words from Scripture. Holiness would be a great word, wouldn't it? Merciful, kind, humble. I mean, we could come up with a list of great words and values out of Scripture, but I believe these three capture both God's personality and the mission of God. And so we shorten it and reference it at times as LR cubed here at Lawson Road. I just want to lay that out, and as we reflect on how I think these values can be recognized, not only in Scripture, but in the lives of Dr. King and the Civil Rights Movement, to think, how do they impact my life? Because sometimes I think when we look at rescue, reconcile, and renew, sometimes we want to just take that and go, yes, I've been rescued from my sin. I've been reconciled to God. I feel like I'm a new person. I know that God loves me. I love God. And it becomes very I-focused. And when we do that, we miss the point. That God rescues us because he loves us. But he loves others. I know that's groundbreaking for some, right? God doesn't just love you. He loves the people around you. And he rescued you, and he wants you to participate in the rescue of others. God loves the people around you, and he reconciled you. He wants you to reconcile with other people so that they can be reconciled to God. And God has given you new life. He has renewed you with a new sense of purpose and a new identity in Christ. And he says that is that newness, that do-over, that second chance, that experience of new creation and the presence of the Holy Spirit in a person's life that we live with each day is something that he wants other people to experience as well. And we do that because we love God, and we do that because we love our neighbors. And we encourage each other in that mission because we love one another, and we're not content to see somebody sitting by themselves enjoying their own company, but we want them to participate in that mission of God with us. as we live, as we experience, as we enjoy blessed community. And so as we look into this new year, and we're going to have Vision Sunday in a couple of weeks, and we're going to lay out some of the ideas and the goals that we have for the coming year. We're going to look back on 2017 and see the way that God worked in the church and in our lives throughout 2017 as well. But we have opportunities ahead of us because we believe that the best in life is still ahead of us, not behind us. And I hope that we can take these values and say, these are God's values, but I want to make them part of my life this year and connect people around me with God because I connected with them. And so if today you don't experience God's love in your life, that's the starting point of all this, that none of this makes sense if God doesn't love us. He doesn't command us to love him because he commands us. I mean, we think of, Fidel Castro could tell his people to love him, right? It's not going to work for everyone. God can tell us to love, but unless he loves us, none of this matters. And so, if you don't experience God's love, if that's something that you're uncertain about, then I encourage you, don't worry about the details of this. Let's think about that. Let's talk about that. How can you know that God loves you? I'd love to talk with you. You can come and let me know during this song. You can talk to me afterwards. You can talk to someone else that you're sitting near that you know. But have that conversation. How can I know that God loves me? Because once you're convinced of that, you need to know that God offers you rescue. God offers you reconciliation. And God offers you renewal. And I believe that's something that each person's life is better when it's part of their life. We're going to stand and sing. If we can encourage you in any way, if you have a prayer need that you want to share, if you have a praise that you want to share with the congregation, whatever it might be, come and let us know about that during this song.